Who likes a treasure hunt? Yeah, especially if it's real treasure we're after. Yeah, I want to talk to you a little bit just in the context of a treasure hunt. I get quite excited still. I'm on the cusp of 50, but still, I do like a bit of a treasure hunt as and when they present themselves. And here's the first clue. You might think this is a little bit out there, but listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul writing in Timothy, 1 Timothy, and he says this: command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be proud, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but, and this is a stark contrast, but trust in the living God who gives us richly, there's that word again, all things to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? And when, I don't know what you think when you hear those words, command those who are rich, you might be thinking, oh, I'm a bit strapped at the moment. I'm not in that category. But can I just say, just for a little bit of a perspective shift, that we are actually all sitting here, we are all rich. We're blessed abundantly. The fact that we're well enough to be here for a start is a great blessing. The fact that we are able to understand language and read, if you can, that's coming for you, Ermi. Language acquisition is a wonderful adventure. But the fact that we have literacy skills this morning is a great blessing. We are rich. I'm talking in the context of the global situation. The fact that we have a roof over our heads, and as Maslow's hierarchy of needs would suggest, all our basic needs in terms of belonging and safety are met. The fact that we're sitting here in a beautiful part of the Wirral with this nature around us to enjoy, we are rich, aren't we? I think it's wise to take a moment every day to count our blessings. And I'll tell you what, you'll lose count. This isn't something you can do on one hand. So when Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age, I'm just trying to say that's all of us here this morning. You might try and do comparisons, but actually bottom line is we are all abundantly blessed. And I'm talking now in the natural sense. It's staggering. There are people we know in the world today who are in great anguish and poverty. So we take these words to heart. We are not to be proud. We are not to take all this for granted. And also here, don't trust in uncertain riches. And I can see by the look on some of your faces, you're thinking, what happened to the treasure hunt? This is a fairly substantial first clue. Don't trust in uncertain riches. That's the clue. But trust in the living God. You know, he's the one actually who created us all and all this environment that surrounds us. And we would do well to give him thanks. And as Peter said earlier, to respect him. Bless his name. And then it goes on to describe something of the character of this living God. This is the one who gives us richly, there's that word again, all things to enjoy. Isn't that wonderful? Now listen to this. This is a quote from someone called A.W. Tozer. Just get a load of this, my friends. This is beautiful. The moment the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, has quickened us or enlivened us, quickened us to life in regeneration, that is birth, spiritual birth, new birth, our whole being senses its kinship to God our Father. Now we've just had a wonderful reminder of the miracle of life, and young Ermi in his dad's arms, in his mum's arms, there's that joyous recognition. Not always conscious, but just that connection, isn't there? That's a wonderful gift from God. Here we have the spiritual equivalent. Our whole being, when we come to life in God, senses its kinship to our Father and leaps up in joyous recognition. And even in the early days, we might do equivalent of blowing bubbles and all of that. The equivalent, whatever that looks like spiritually. Isn't it wonderful, though? There's a joy. There's an infectious joy of new life in a little child. I'm presuming, I don't know for sure, but presuming grandparent, possibly. Brother-in-law. Sorry, I was going with the grey. No disrespect. I've got some too. Brother, never presume. Little lifelong learning tip there. Forgive me. Brother-in-law. But look at that. Absolutely lovely. Connection. Belonging. A sense of having a place in this world. Now, there's lots of people who actually don't have that privilege. I don't know if you've noticed, but this world is a broken place, and there are many, many broken people who haven't had the great privilege that young Ermie's got. Is it okay to call him Ermie? Yeah, okay. Sorry, just feeling my way here a little bit. Brother-in-law. It's all good, isn't it, Ermie? We're okay. But lots of people, and there might be folks here who are sitting there thinking right now, I haven't had that. Can I tell you what we're talking about here, this quote that Tozer gives us, this new life in Christ, this kinship with God is for everyone. Whatever our natural situation may or may not have been, however lost and broken, however far beyond reach we may feel deep inside that we are, Jesus, my friends, has come for you with a passionate pursuit. This is, I know this sounds a bit dramatic, and that's why I just slowed it down a little. This is your destiny. To be known and loved by God who made you, who knows you better than yourself, and has made every provision in a rich, rich sense, and this is the treasure hunt we're going to look at, to have you and to take you on an adventure like perhaps you have never known in your life up to this point. And I'm speaking to those who know the Lord and also perhaps those who don't currently. There is life in rich fullness to be known and lived. And at the very heart, the beating heart of this journey, this discovery, this treasure hunt, is to be known and loved by God. And in response, like we've, oh, he keeps moving. See, it's a proper treasure hunt, isn't it? You're having a little journey right there. Ermie's journey. Anyway, no, that's probably not going to stick, is it? So here we are. And Tozer describes this as a heavenly birth without which we can't actually see the kingdom of God. And then he says this. We might be thinking, wow, that's amazing. That's some goal to reach or to know or to experience. And then it says this. This is, however, not an end, but an inception, a beginning. For now begins the glorious pursuit, the treasure hunt of treasure hunts. The heart, listen to this, this is beautiful. The heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of God. Oh, hairs on the back of my neck are standing up right now. Listen to that. The heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of God. To have found him, and actually as was prayed, in a sense, the greater truth is that he finds us. But we're in this together. It's relational. In our experience, we are to find him too. He finds us, we're to find him. He pursues us, we're to pursue him. My wife and I have just passed 25 years married. Yeah. I'm telling you, love, absolute respect. It's a journey of discovery. And I'm sure she's thinking, it's mutual. There are hidden depths to me that she didn't know about. Wonderful. And that's just a picture, isn't it, relationally? Friendship is the same thing. You can meet someone and become a friend, and then it's a journey of discovery. Depths and exploration, adventure, insights, revelation. Praise God. So to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. And Tozer makes this comment, this is scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied religionists. A little bit highfalutin language there, isn't it? But you know what? The suggestion is that we can be too easily satisfied. You know, there's depths to you as a human being that can only be fathomed and satisfied by your creator God. And there are passions and longings and desires in you. And sadly, so often we're sold the lie and we spend our money, as it says in Isaiah, for what is not bread, what is not good for us. When all the while our God, our Father, our Savior is pursuing us and calling to us with passion and love and saying, come home. Come under my wings. And then from that place, you can learn to fly and soar and see things in a completely different way and discover the undiscovered country. We're talking heartland here, aren't we? This is the land of the heart. Glory to his name. So scorned this, what we've been talking about, indeed by the too easily satisfied religionists, but justified, and here we go again, God bless Tozer, in happy experience by children of the burning heart. Is your heart warm this morning? There was two disciples on the road to Emmaus. I don't know if you know the story, but they were heading in the wrong direction. They were disappointed. All their hopes had been dashed. They thought Jesus was going to do one thing, and then it all went utterly pear-shaped, to put it colloquially. That's not in the Bible. And Jesus actually came alongside them as they were heading in the wrong direction. And he just sidled up. They didn't even recognize him. He started talking about the scriptures, he started talking about who he was. Their eyes were veiled to the fact that the Son of God, Jesus himself, was walking with them. And then the story is that he revealed himself in the breaking of bread. He sat down and ate with them. And then he was gone. And they commented after the event and said, they said this, didn't our heart burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? So that's lovely, isn't it? Jesus, the Word of God, opened up the Word, wow, layer upon layer, and something ignited in their hearts, and their hearts burned. Something was kindled, a spark. You know, the Word of God is powerful. Even this morning for us, you may be feeling a little adrift. Perhaps you may be thinking on the back of a global pandemic, and it's actually still going on, isn't it? As we're seeking to emerge out of things, it's been a tough 18 months for many people across the world, hasn't it? You may be feeling a bit jaded, a bit like hope has been dashed, or the Lord is here to spark fresh hope, faith, inspiration, impetus, motivation to get up and not just drag our feet forward. but to walk with steady pace. Sometimes the prophet Isaiah would even suggest we can run. My running days, I think, are more in my dreams. In reality, right now, I went into work to pick up a laptop and I'd met someone who I hadn't seen since before the pandemic. And she said to me, "Are you still running, Dave?" And I had to confess, I've developed arthritis in my right foot. She said, "I'm about to do the marathon in 2 weeks." Feeling a little bit discouraged, but tell you what, inside, I'm running, friends. Sometimes, by God's grace, flying, soaring with wings as eagles. Isn't that wonderful? So listen to these words as we just spend the next 5 minutes pulling some thoughts together around this. We heard already from Ephesians. This is from Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is? Nice. You've got it. Can you see the little thread, the treasure hunt? But God, who is rich in mercy. Just clock these as we go through. God is rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were utterly lost, the Bible says, dead in trespasses, he made us alive. Like your little fella there. Alive. There's no doubt, is there? We recognize life when we see it and feel it, and I'm sure at times through the night. It's particularly poignant as it carries on. Unrelentingly. Oh, the joy and the sheer exhaustion of parenting. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen to this, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Are you getting the message, friends? Love and grace and kindness in excessively rich quantity and quality, coming to us from the Father. God, rich in mercy. In Ephesians 3, that he would grant you, this is part of the prayer that Pete referred to just before he went out to teach the kids. Don't you love that, by the way? Let the little children come to me. And Pete's off explaining to the little children about the love of God. I think that's beautiful. And in this prayer, in Ephesians 3, Paul prays that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might inside, deep inside, in your inner man by his Spirit. So you've had the riches of his grace. Don't trust in unsearching riches, but trust in the living God, who is rich in mercy, who is rich in amazing grace. Wow. The riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace, and just further down there we have the riches of his glory. So riches of mercy, riches of grace, riches of glory. And Paul said he was called primarily to preach what? It's just, can you feel it? It's just rippling through. It is. Listen to this beautiful phrase. And I always think of my dear dad. Bless you, Dad, if you're listening. He's on his sick bed right now. I trust he's logged into Zoom. He looked after me like you're looking after your Ermie when I was a little bubba. And I've heard him. This is one of his favorite passages. called to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wow. Sometimes people think Christians are narrow-minded and kind of it's all, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Wow, open up your eyes. God says, come and know me. Unsearchable riches, life like you've never known before. The reason why I say don't go there is because you'll get burned and damaged and broken. Come here. Don't eat of that tree. It was right at the beginning, wasn't it? Don't eat of that tree. And we all think, oh, he's so mean. Don't eat of that. We forget he said, eat of absolutely everything else you want. It was just that one tree. Feast richly. Our eyes have been darkened. We've been sold a dummy, my friends. God is rich in mercy, rich in glory, rich in grace. Unsearchable riches to be discovered and to fulfill our deepest desires and longings. Please excuse me, I'm getting a little carried away. Just wonder, what an inspiration to be able to pray for Ermie. And for the Lord to speak to us through his little life and through this family. What a joy. What a delight. I'm going to conclude because we've got to our hour point, haven't we? It's been a full service. A little bit of extra time. You okay with that? If anyone's watching England later, not bothered, are you, when it goes into extra time? You're like, oh, it could be a goal. We have our parameters, but a little bit of leeway. I'll let you know when we're deep into injury time, okay? Although I hope no one's been hurt along the way. Paul says this in Romans 11, and we won't go into it, but he's discussing the amazing wisdom of God when it comes to all the people of the world. The Bible talks about it in terms of the Jews and the Gentiles. And Paul says this, somewhat a conclusion about the ways of God. He says in verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So we've had grace and mercy and glory, and now we've got rich wisdom and knowledge. Oh, praise his wonderful name. In Colossians, and we're going to close very soon, it says this, of Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, the one and only, the Savior of the world. It says this of him, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You get that sense? Unsearchable riches. Now, what do you do when something is presented to you as unsearchable? Do you go, ah, well, it was never going to happen. Actually, he's deliberately whetting our appetite. When he says unsearchable, he doesn't mean don't search. He means this is a pursuit that can start now and goes on for all eternity. Amen to that. Oh, what a pursuit. What a calling. What a potential fulfillment. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I just ask as we come to a close, where is your treasure? What are your riches? Who are you trusting in today? Not just for this life, but for life eternal. The Lord's appealing to us again this morning. He's calling to us with his compelling love, with a purpose in his heart for our lives, not just for our own blessing, but for the blessing of those we are related to closely, our communities, and the world. This is quite a big calling, isn't it? And we all potentially have a part to play. There's something about goals and there's something about prizes, isn't there? I like treasure hunts. I like goals, not just in the football sense. I also like prizes. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's just be quiet, shall we? We're going to pray in just a moment. And then if it's okay, we'll just sing one song to close the service. It's a hymn we sing that starts with this question. What grace is mine? Just listen to these words as we're quiet in God's presence. This was written by a lady, Frances Brooke. She said, my goal is God himself, not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but himself, my God. 'Tis his to lead me there, not mine, but his, at any cost, dear Lord, by any road. This lady was the daughter of a minister. From a young age, she wanted to be a missionary. She was the youngest of three. Her two older sisters, were both missionaries. So they were fulfilling, if you like, what her goal was. But Frances was very frail and suffered from chronic illness. And so it's almost as if her godly goal, her desire to fulfill a calling in life, was left unfulfilled. But from that death, if you like, sprang forth this life, this revelation, that our primary call, and this goes out to all of us, whatever our circumstances, whether we're well or ill, whether we're young or old, whoever we are, whatever our situation, this is the revelation that our primary call is to God himself. All other goals and calls and treasures are at best secondary. Get this straight, my friends. Know God. Know God. Know his love for you. Fresh this morning, perhaps. Amen. Let's sing, shall we? What grace is mine? And the chorus is a call and a response. It's so I will go wherever you are calling me. That might not be geographic. It might be a move in our hearts to Jesus for the first time. It might be a move in our hearts to pray again for lost causes. It might be a move in our hearts on the back end of this global pandemic to say, yes, Lord, I'm with you. I'm going to go with you into this autumn term. Whatever that call represents for you, I urge you in Jesus' name to respond to this one who's here among us. God bless you all.